Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Time Technoplast Limited Q2 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by PhillipCapital India Private Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectation of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Vikram Suryavanshi from PhillipCapital India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon and very warm welcome to everyone. Thank you for being on the call of Time Technoplast Limited. We are happy to have management with us here today for Q&A and answer session with the investment community. Management is represented by Mr. Anil Jain, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Bharat Wagheria, Director of Finance, Mr. Sandeep Modi, Senior Vice President, Accounts and Corporate Planning. Before we start with the question and answer session, we'll have some opening remarks from the management. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Vikram. Good afternoon to all the attendees. I have with me Mr. Bharat Wagheria, Mr. Sandeep Modi, who have been already introduced to you. We are here essentially to talk about our results for Q2 and also H1 FY22 and the outlook for the rest of the year. The results are already announced, but I will just walk you through some of the key financials and operational highlights. Before I do that, I need to apologize to all of you for missing the last investors meet due to some sudden urgent engagement for our CNG cylinders. So I apologize for not being there last time. In fact, even today when I'm speaking to you, there is a big delegation from MGNL visiting our factory who wanted me also to come, and they have a fairly large requirement of caskets going forward. But I said this time around, I must really talk to my investors. Overall recovery has been quicker after the COVID-19 second wave. The company has been significant improvement in the performance in the second quarter and the first half of FY22, despite an increase in price of key raw materials and logistic costs, which will get reflected in our numbers as I explain. The key numbers are, on a consolidated basis in Q2 FY22, there has been a significant improvement in performance with revenue growth of 21% as compared to previous quarter and as compared to Q1 FY22, and 23% as compared to corresponding quarter last year. During the Q2 FY22, corresponding on a consolidated basis, the net sales stood at 915 crore as against 744 crore. EBITDA reached 131 crore as against 93 crore, and the profit after tax has been 50 crore as against 24 crore. So in terms of percentage, the net sale increased by 23%, volume increased 16%, EBITDA increased 42%, and PAT increased 106%. The EBITDA margins were 14.34% as against 12.44%, increased by 190 basis points. That is essentially because we have come out of the ill effects of COVID. The net profit margin also increased by 220 basis points. So that's about 5.5% as compared to 3.3% during the previous period. During H1 FY22, on a consolidated basis, the net sale is at 1,670 crore as against 1,220 crore. EBITDA at 232 crore as against 147 crore, and profit after tax 79 crore as against 13 crore. In terms of percentage growth, net sales grew 37%, volume increased 32%, EBITDA by 58%, and PAT increased by 517%. But that is basically because of a smaller base last year, which was affected by COVID. In H1 FY22, EBITDA margin were 13.90% as against 12.03%, increased by 187 basis points. And net profit margin also increased by 367 basis points. That is about 4.27% as compared to 1.05%. Again, as the larger volume and the larger revenue, you see that the overheads have been diluted on a larger number, therefore the EBITDA increases, and also the net profit improved as our EBITDA margins went up. Share of business, established products versus value-added products. Value-added products grew by 35% in H1 FY22 as compared to H1 FY21, while established products grew at 37%. The share of value-added products is 21% of the total sale in H1 FY22 as against 22% in H1 FY22. So we always welcome when value-added growth, so value-added products, the growth is higher. Share of Indian overseas business, which has always been hovering around 70-30 or thereabout, in H1 FY22 it is 65% and 35% as against 70% and 30% in FY21. So it is overseas business is 35% as against 30, but the domestic business hasn't grown at the same pace. EBITDA margin in India and overseas are 13.94% and 13.83%. Historically also they have been more or less at the same level with a difference of about 0.4% here and there. Total debt as on 30th September 2021 stood at 832 crores, net debt at rupees 735 crores correspondingly, as against 817 crores as on 30th of September. Total capex incurred during H1 FY22 was 73 crores, which included 40 crores towards the capacity expansion, re-engineering and automation, and for the established products, and about 33 crores towards value-added products, including CNG cylinders, which are seeing a remarkable growth in terms of order book. I would now like to open the floor for questions so that we could answer the specific queries, please. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nakshita Mehta from Credence AMC. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening, and first of all, congratulations on a good set of numbers.
Thank you.
I just wanted to ask a question about the inventories. I can see the inventories are, you know, consistently high. So, is there any particular reason or?
Yes, inventory buildup has happened essentially in our PE pipe business. As we got the orders and had the urgent requirement of the customers, we made those pipes for them. But suddenly in several states, the rains continued far beyond what they had, our customers had anticipated. And therefore they asked us to hold the dispatches. Because if you sell the pipes or send the pipes to the site during monsoon, then either they get swept away or they get dirty because of the mud going inside of that. So that had been one a major reason for inventory buildup.
Do you still have bookings for these products or is it...
Sorry, I couldn't get it, Mishra.
Do you still have bookings for these products?
Oh, yes, we already had the orders. That's when we actually manufactured them.
Okay, you still do, right?
This is also increased.
Yeah. Right. And then the cost of production has also gone up because the raw material prices went up. Therefore, the value of inventory also gone up because of that reason. So it's a combined effect of both.
Okay, perfect. Another question is on the capex. So I can also see, you know, there's a good amount of capex that's been happening. Can you throw some light on Are we planning for a capacity expansion or what is it?
Actually, the line wasn't very good. Which particular segment you said, talked about?
CapEx, capital expenditure.
Oh, yes, CapEx. Okay, I'll explain it to you. We have CapEx divided into two parts. One is for maintenance, upkeep, brownfield, and internal capacity expansion, etc., and the maintenance and automation. So that is one part which is recurring every year. And then there is a CapEx which is for capacity expansion in the areas where we might find, may expect larger orders. So the CapEx, actually, most of the CapEx is happening on maintenance, etc., but there is a certain CapEx which we have done for our new products, especially caskets, as we are now flooded with orders, which is a nice thing to have, and therefore we have to prepare them. Though there will be a time gap as we start getting the plant and equipment, that they come with a time gap, but we have to take steps so that we would be able to supply those caskets and cylinders on time.
Right. Okay. And so I can also see, my another question is on trade receivables. So I can see there is a huge buildup of trade receivables as well. So can I attribute that to, again, the order problem that you said?
That net receivables have been a little bit of a situation as, especially again in pipes, the state government, our customers supply the material to the state governments, and the state governments keep complaining to them that they haven't received their share of GST from the central government. So they had the paucity of funds, therefore the payment got a little delayed from their side. But now it is a very temporary phenomenon. We see it every year, and especially when the new order is not being executed, then they have a tendency to hold it back for a little longer. But as the supplies have commenced, I'm sure that will get regularized. But let me assure all our investors that we have virtually nil bad receivables. In fact, the other day we were doing the calculations, it is inside of 0.001% of the total sale up till now.
It is very good, sir. That is very good. Okay, so last question is on, there is an increasing adoption of EV, electric vehicle, and all of that. So what do you think in coming years will be the impact on the CNG and a subsequent impact on your business?
Let me tell you that we are fully aware and are keeping a close watch on what's going to happen on electrical vehicles. First of all, government has a long-term plan for CNG. They have contracted certain areas to the private city gas distributors, and the schedule has been given. So from 1,400-1,500 gas stations, they are going to go up to 10,000 gas stations. So that is where you will require a lot of caskets. And as the CNG becomes available, then we would expect that a lot of these car manufacturers will go for CNG vehicles because the CNG footprints will increase substantially. Let me just give you another comparison. One is vis-à-vis electrical. Let me be honest with you, the electrical vehicle cost is going to be much, much higher than the CNG vehicles. So, and then the cost saving will certainly be there in operating cost, but the capital cost goes up. And up till now, if you leave aside some people in USA, lithium-ion batteries have not been able to prove themselves in India, especially on automobiles. Again, the lithium-ion batteries need to come from China, where the prices are going up every day. So I don't know really how long electrical vehicles are sustainable. Besides, for electrical vehicles, you need a very large infrastructure so that you could have quick charging or a swap system of the batteries. I would like to think that will take a little longer. But let me interestingly tell you, the more relevant comparison will be with hydrogen vehicles.
Hydrogen, sir.
As Hyundai and another company have taken permission from Peugeot that they would like to come with hydrogen vehicles. The operating cost of hydrogen vehicles will be much less than even electrical vehicles on one hand, And secondly, it will be easier for having hydrogen available in different location. That is replica of how CNG vehicles are operated. I drove a vehicle which is running on hydrogen with a fuel cell. Believe you me, it's a pleasure to drive such a vehicle. But we are now knowing that Reliance and some other people have taken a very aggressive approach towards hydrogen. But hydrogen also will require composite cylinders. The difference is that a CNG composite cylinder has to have a bus pressure of 470 bar, whereas a hydrogen cylinder will have a bus pressure of 1,250 to 1,300 bar. So steel cylinders are completely no-no for hydrogen. And we have started working for hydrogen cylinders also as and when the demand comes up. We have been able to go up to the bus pressure of in excess of 1,000 bar, but to go to 1,200 or 1,300 bar is not really going to be a problem. So if switchover takes place, let us assume one day from CNG to hydrogen, then we are still in good business.
Perfect. Perfect. That's great. Thank you, sir, and I wish you good luck.
Thank you, Nikita.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone telephone. The next question is from the line of Nilesha from Arrow Investment. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Nilesh. Hello?
Mr. Nilesh Shah, your line is unmuted. You may please go ahead with your question, sir.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, Nilesh, we can hear you clearly.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations, Anil ji, Bharat bhai, and the team at Dyme Technoplast for a great set of numbers.
Thank you, sir.
My first question is on the LPG cylinders. We had received an order from Inconel, and just want to know on subsequent orders booked, what is the kind of position after the first 30,000 cylinders, whether they have been delivered or is it an ongoing process?
Okay. Between my investors and I'm willing to share some important information. After the first order, within a month, we have received another order from Indian Oil Corporation, which is under execution now. I believe as they launched these composite cylinders in 30 different locations in the country, the response had been very warm. And therefore, they had to place orders for another, I think, 30,000 or something. Which is now being executed. But that's not exciting. The exciting thing is that we are working very closely with them for preparation of tender specification for 14.7 lakh composite cylinder. 14.7 lakh cylinders. So even if we get half of it, that will be close to about 720,000 or 725,000 cylinders. And we are told that that inquiry would be out by end of this month. And since we have already supplied cylinders successfully in the past and they have been received well by the customers, we see no reason as to why we would not be able to get a significant part of that inquiry. Now, that is only Indian Oil Corporation. Let's not forget that Bharat Petroleum and also Hindustan Petroleum have also bought some cylinders in the past, composite cylinders. And they are very encouraged by the data that they are receiving from Indian Oil Corporation, their cousin. So I wouldn't be surprised if they also geared up. But let me tell you, it's not just the liking for composite cylinder. There is another factor which plays the role. In the former time, cylinders used to be for 1,400 rupees, and we were selling composite cylinder for 2,200. So there was a significant price difference between both. Though all these companies acknowledge that the composite cylinders had great advantages over steel cylinders, but because of the price difference, they were not willing to go aggressively for them. In the meantime, as the steel prices have gone, steel cylinder prices have gone from 1,400 to about 1,000. Whereas composite cylinders are more or less at the same level, plus minus. Therefore, the difference in the price from 40% has come down to more like 10% to 15%. And with all the advantages that composite cylinders have, the lightweight, explosion-proof, no rusting, no corrosion, etc., etc., I think it is only logical that the oil companies will now look at switching from steel cylinders to composite. Instantly, we don't even have to worry about their new rollout of the new connections, because they have a total population of about 36 crore cylinders countrywide. And normally a life of a cylinder is 10 years, but they sometimes 15. So you always have a replacement demand every year, which earlier was being replaced by steel cylinder, but now they are going to look at composite. So most of these composite cylinders will go as a replacement to the steel cylinders.
Perfect. Thank you so much. The second query is basically on, again, on the LPG part itself. There are the exact production that we have 14 million cylinders per annum. We are exporting to 52 countries worldwide. So that is still going on. And is there an incremental revenue that is coming in from those areas, those markets?
You have touched my raw nerve, because we are also contemplating that if the oil companies wake up, it looks like as if they are, right, we will have to calibrate our exports to different countries, because we still have fairly large orders from some of the nearby countries in Africa and Caribbeans. So we are right now have a capacity of 1.2 million, which that's the nameplate capacity, but in real production, this is closer to about a million. And if our friends, the OMCs, take away, let us say, 750 or 800,000 cylinders out of that one, I will be left with little for the purpose of export. And I have a good, solid order booking, which of course we have been cautious about in anticipation of this local order. We will have a difficult time in kind of matching our preferences with the capacity.
All right, so that's good news in a way.
Yes, that's a good thing to have.
Yeah, that's a good news for you. Thank you, sir, for that. And last question, sir, is on this battery division and the molded plastic furniture division. We were looking for exiting these businesses, and I think it's, again, a work in progress, and I just want to know any development on that side.
I would like to take your advice, because we have started getting orders from Tesla.
You have started getting orders from Tesla for batteries?
The batteries, yes.
Wow, there's no announcement on that front anywhere, so that's very good to hear and very pleasing.
Yeah, well, and they have promised that they just started supplying, and they are saying that they will be giving significant order. So there are two things. Of course, we still are stuck on letting this business go, but with these order books with companies like Tesla, etc., I think the valuation will be more to our liking. So that is still a work in progress. But in the meantime, we have not given up, because it is a good business for us. And with some of these guys like Tesla and other people coming in, I think we can pick and choose on the prospective buyers.
Perfect. That's actually very good news again. So the NED Energy division, and there was a merger that was supposed to take place between two companies, one in Bangalore and the NED in Hyderabad.
It did, because we wanted to reduce the overheads, etc. So that part has been done already. And it makes a little more attractive for a prospective buyer, because our offering from both the locations put together is quite large. And our Bangalore unit had been the blue-eyed boys of railways. And suddenly, railways has gone in for modernization. I'm not talking about railway stations, which Prime Minister is inaugurating as of this time, but even in terms of their coaches and operating parts, which require a lot of batteries, which our Bangalore unit specializes in. So I think this is a good advantage, and when we make an offering, it will make it more attractive for prospective buyers.
But we are still looking at exiting these businesses.
We will exit from the business sooner or later.
So thank you so much. If I have anything, I'll come back and get you. Thank you so much, sir, and congratulations on a great set of numbers. Thank you.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press 1 on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from the line of Suresh Varan, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Suresh ji.
Thank you. Yes, yes, thank you for giving opportunity, sir.
Yes, Suresh.
Okay. Sir, how many players, regarding the RCC and WWC pipes, how many players are in Indian market and what is our ranking and is there any export opportunities for these pipes, DWC pipes and RCC pipes?
Somehow the line is not again good. But which segment are you talking about, the competition? You are talking about composite cylinders?
Composite cylinders, yes, sir.
Okay, good.
No, RCC and DWC pipes.
Oh, DWC pipe. All right, okay. So let me first talk about the composite cylinders, type 4. We have no local manufacturer at all. And I'm sure by this time you know that the government of India has come up with a new policy for Atmanirbhar Bharat, whereby those companies who have more than 50% of local value addition, they are given 20% price preference in the purchases by government companies. And that includes the CGD companies. So therefore, we will have that advantage until somebody else comes in into the country. For LPG cylinders, we have us and of course Supreme Cylinders. They are the one. It is good in a way. There is another one because for government purchases, you need to have at least two tenders. Otherwise, they cancel the tenders. So I'm glad that they are there around us. And yes, as far as the DWC pipes are concerned, I am afraid they have still not picked up as much as we had expected it to, because the government of India is spending more of money on for drinking water supply, as they call it, JLL. I don't know what is the full extension of that one, but in short, they call it Jal Nal Se Jal. So there is a lot of expansion in that area for supply of fresh or drinking water. That's where our LGB pipes are going. But we are now told that the government is very aggressively going to go for sewage and sewage treatment plants for which DWC pipe will be required. And we still remain very optimistic that product will. But insofar as the manufacturer for those products are concerned, I think we have about one in Calcutta, one in Jaipur, maybe about four of them. But let me tell you, when the requirement comes up, any capacity will be less.
Okay, sir. Sir, just I want your opinion on this one. Actually, I attended Everest Kanto Kankal in Q3 21. What they're mentioning, composite cylinder is not adaptable in India. They are telling it's only adapted in US and even now Europe, it's not adapted. So, and also they are telling this technology is easy to manufacture. Anytime they can adopt the technology in their factory. So I need your opinion, sir.
What do you expect them to say? I mean, we are pushing them out of the market. Some of the caskets which were type 1, they make type 1 cylinders. We are able to convert them into type 4. So they have every reason to say what they did. But let me tell you, even a common man can understand. If you can carry twice the CNG in every trip, right? And so why won't and the operating cost getting reduced to half? Of course, the capital cost is little, if, but that gets spread over a period of 20 years. I think it cannot be factually borne by the fact that it is only in US and it's not in Europe. That is not true. And Europe has several areas where CNG caskets are being used. And number three, let me be honest with you, if the technology was as simple as one would like to think, you would already see quite a few people jumping into the market as they start losing business to us. As we speak, MGNL is going to be placing order for 100 caskets for type 4 cylinders. And the tender is only for type 4. Even Taiwan is not allowed to participate in that one.
Okay, sir. Sir, any update on the oxygen cylinder actually?
Well, we are ready with the cylinders, oxygen cylinder, but in the meantime, scarcity in the market has gone away. If they have a product available, we will be now looking for an alternate use for that one, especially for fire brigades. and Navy. So that is the two areas where we have, we are working, but the sizes that they require are slightly different. So we will be preparing the samples for them, and probably approval will take a little bit while longer. Incidentally, when you talked about Type 4 composition, I can quote a very senior officer in Peso, who said that the future of CNG is Type 4 caskets and Type 4 cylinders, and they are not going anywhere for the next 25 years.
Okay, sir. Sir, actually, today's Mr. Nitin Gadkari's interview, he told in 2 years' time, the petrol price, petrol car price and the electric car price will be same. So do you agree with that one, sir? Actually, is there any, what is your opinion, sir?
Mr. Nitin Gadkari is a very good friend, actually. I do meet him often, right?
Okay.
Let me tell you, you can see a little smile on his face when he says that. He's a very straightforward person, though, admittedly. Of course, this is what they would like to happen, but, I mean, being an electrical engineer who has worked on electrical vehicles for some time, I can promise you, it will take a lot longer than what has been promised with regard to the prices being just the same. Please tell me today, our policymaker in the country are slightly confused. First, they talked about methanol being added to the fuel so that the fuel prices could come down. Right? And a lot of people invested in the methanol hybrid vehicles. Then they came out with the CNG. CNG, we are working extremely hard, and we have brought it to a point where it can take off. Then, the government is also talking about LNG for large trucks. I don't know whether you heard, they have already a plan, the copy of which is available with me, which says that they will be doing LNG for large vehicles. So that's a welcome thing, and I quite agree, LNG has been gathering momentum. For electrical vehicles, if you are doing it for energy independence, let me tell you, electrical vehicles don't make sense. Because lithium-ion batteries are coming and will continue to come from China, as all the mines for lithium, especially in Australia, are owned by Chinese people. And then they move the prices based on demand. So I would like to think, because of the energy independence point of view, and also because of the cost and imports from China, electrical vehicles can wait for a while.
Okay, sir. Sir, my next question is regarding the hydrogen cylinder. Actually, you told 1,250 bar.
That is right.
Actually, yes.
I forgot to tell you that the policymakers are again confused, because even before they could talk about electrical cars, they started talking about hydrogen initiative. And let me tell you, that is the best thing that can happen to this country. Because normally you have hydrogen vehicle at the operating pressure of 400 bar, and therefore the bus pressure of the cylinder has to be 1,200 bar. But for 1,200 bar bus pressure, a steel cylinder weight will be so much that you can't even move the vehicle. So it has to be a composite cylinder, and that too, who can withstand 1,250 bar. We have crossed to the other side of 1,000 bar, and God willing, by end of this year, we should be close to about 1,200 bars. We are closely in touch with Reliance. As you know, we have a two-way relationship with Reliance. We buy a lot of polymers from them, and we have told them that we have the capabilities to do hydrogen cylinders. So if we switch over from LNG or CNG or any other alternate fuel to hydrogen, we wouldn't have to worry about. The same capacity can be used for making hydrogen cylinders.
Oh, okay, sir. Sir, is the hydrogen cylinder, is there anywhere adopted substantially in the world now, right now?
Oh, sure. I mean, I have seen vehicles with the hydrogen fuel in USA. It is nothing but an electrical vehicle. What you do is, you generate electricity by way of a fuel cell. Fuel cell uses hydrogen and air, and therefore it generates energy, and the byproduct is distilled water. And that energy, the electrical energy, is used to run the car as an electrical car.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, if you have a question, please press star then one. The next question is from the line of Mahendra Jain from Way to Well. Please go ahead.
Mahendra ji, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, sir. Kaise ho, sir?
बस सर मेहरबानी आप सुनाइए कैसे
बस सर बढ़िया बढ़िया सर मुझे जानना है सर एनी ऑन न्यू सेगमेंट और एनी न्यू इनोवेशन वी आर प्लानिंग लाइक अपार्ट फ्रॉम सीएनजी हो लाइक एज अवर टॉप लाइन इज सैचुरेटेड अराउंड 900 करोड़ एंड आई डोंट नो द रॉ मटेरियल प्राइसेस राइट नाउ बट सीइंग लुकिंग एट द मेटल प्राइसेस एंड ऑल दीस थिंग्स सो डू वी एक्सपेक्ट इन टू इयर्स लाइक टॉप लाइन टू गो बाय 30-40%.
Let me give you a macro situation. Right. All composite cylinders are a replacement of metal cylinder. Metal cylinders are called type 1 and composite cylinders are type 4 cylinders. So yeah. Steel prices being what they are, I suspect that the steel prices will go up even in future. As you know, China does not have energy. They have no power electricity available. All steel plants have been closed down there. So there is a huge capacity that has been taken off the market. Secondly, the steel producer was USA. USA has announced the infrastructure expenditure of almost $3 trillion as their infrastructure is very old. A lot of steel is going to go into making bridges and roads, etc. in USA. So therefore, no matter what happens, the steel prices are going to stay up. And people who did not switch over to composites in the past, because the steel, the price between steel and the composite was quite large, they are now rethinking whether they should go back to composites. So I am confident that the advantages that associated with composites are so many that that product will keep replacing metal in high technology areas. Because you reduce the weight by 80%, they are explosion proof, and they also have a long useful life, and there's no corrosion, no rusting. So I see no reason why composites will not be the material of future. As we have started seeing, composites are replacing metal in automobiles in a big way to make it lightweight. And so long as the concerns for the pollution remain, and which I am sure will remain because everybody seems to have signed on Paris Agreement, whereby you have to bring down your emission levels to the level of 2005, year 2005. Now, China had to close down a lot of their thermal power plants because of the same reason. The lightweighting of the vehicles is going to be the priority going forward, and that can only be done by composites, which has the strength of steel and 80% less weight.
Agreed, sir. I agree with you. That's why I'm asking if we are going to focus totally on automobile or any new opportunities due to this price rise of steel and scarcity of steel. Are we planning any new innovation or are we going to focus totally on automobile?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, we have a fairly large product portfolio in composites. Like I said, we have LPG cylinders, CNG cylinder for cascades, CNG cylinder for onboard application, also for oxygen. Right? So we have worked on that. There are several other products which can be made out of composites, but we will go to that a bit later as we have done justice to what we have created so far. But if you want to know what are the other applications, let me tell you, armaments, all these arms, which are using steel can be converted into composites. So your shoulder held rocket propeller is made for composites. Most part of your fighter planes, they have composites. And we are now looking at a product called exoskeletons. For example, third arm and some other devices whereby it can help people do their job a lot easier, especially for the army in high altitude areas. So those are the kind of things that are the future of composites. And as this industry develops, I'm sure a lot of new avenues will open up and we'll be there.
Correct. Any explanation on inventory gain this time, in this quarter, like?
Any?
Inventory gain part of profit, what you show, is there is a inventory gain, like?
Not much, because we carry the inventory of 80 to 90 days, but it's based on that, we have also the old contracts, we have to serve that. So therefore, the EBITDA margin in the range of 13.5 to 14.5 we have seen. No, prices increase in composite, you are asking the raw material gain. So raw material gain, no. That's your always average out.
But I tell you, interestingly, we are expecting some additional capacity for polymers to come in India. As Bharat will tell you that Mittals are coming up with a fairly large plant, and they will be making the grades that we use for manufacture. So probably advantage would be that if you are buying it locally and not importing, then you don't have to carry a very large inventory.
Currently, what happened is too much imports. We have almost 60%. We have to import the material because local manufacturers are not there. And you understand that currently the container problem is coming. We have to keep the inventory because of the specialized product. But it's large blue molding, where the new manufacturers, as Mr. Jain has said, HTML is coming by this time. I think next year they will have a ready production. So I can say in the next, 12 months or 18 months, definitely some inventory level will go down as we use larger products and we have a large segment in that large blue molding drum. I think that will come in the next 12 to 18 months time, when the production is stabilized by HTML.
Correct. Then is our projection for the lesser working capital in future is based on this or advance payment and debt?
You have seen in my last presentation of August, when the investor presentation was also done and in the analyst meet also, we are coming back to the inventory net working capital cycle time of 85 to 90 days, which currently has increased the legal because of import containers problem, some supply situation is problem. So I think in the, by 25, definitely we have presented in that thing. In the last analyst meet, revenue-wise also we have said it, we should reach to around 5,000 crores and net working cycle time will reach around between there is improvement and between net of 85 days.
Nandabhai, I'm sure you know that these days that the ocean freight has gone up 5 times and the availability of shipping container is so difficult.
Yeah, ship tough.
And to get material from overseas on time is a logistic nightmare. So I think gradually more and more dependence would be there on local production. So we are encouraging local polymer suppliers to adopt the grades that we need for our high-tech products. And hopefully they will listen to us. Yeah. Thank you, Mahendra Bhai. Thank you for your questions.
Thank you, Anuj. Thank you, Bharat Bhai.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, if you wish to ask a question, please press star then one. The next question is from the line of Hemal, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for this opportunity.
Yes,
I have two questions, sir. One, I just, since several quarters since 2019, I've been observing that in our India's capacity utilization is close to 67-70%. I just wanted to understand, since you make so many different products, which is the, like, what is the range generally, like in terms of certain products? What is the cause of this being sub 70% in India in our capacity utilization? What product is it our regular product or some other product that is leading to this lower use of capacity?
A lower use of capacity, as you're expecting, first of all, you cannot have capacity utilizes more than 80% in our kind of products because we are just in time delivery situation with the customer. So you don't want to have a situation where you're already 80% and then something happens to the plant and then you start defaulting on the deliveries, number one. Number two, this is when we talk about the capacity, there is a nameplate capacity. But there is some ideal capacity which is part of our process. So for example, I am making on the same machine and mold a 200 liter drum. But next order is for 150 liter. So I have to stop the machine, take the mold out, put another mold in, and startup. That could be about 24 hours. Now that capacity is not being utilized. So eventually when I calculate my capacity utilization, that shows a negative effect on the capacity utilization. But I might turn around and say, hey, I'm using more or less my entire capacity. Secondly, the power outages. Every time I have a power outage, I have to wait for at least 10 hours for the machine to restart, because it has to come to a certain temperature and stabilize. Now, most places they say, oh, we have got surplus power and there are no outages. But there are outages because of some circuit breaker tripping at some place or some wire snapping at some other place. So every interruption for us is not just a 5 minutes interruption. That is because you have to reset the machine and wait for the temperature to stabilize. So probably that is the reason why you don't expect our capacity utilization to be 80 or 85% and above. And the moment we see that the capacity utilization is higher, you see that we have got expansion on brownfield, that capex. So we add another machine so that we don't run into this situation.
I see. So is it a fair assumption that we should, like 70 to 75% is a number that we aspire as a in capacity utilization? Like, is there a number in your mind where you?
I would like to. I mean, I have to set a difficult target for my people, so I expect it to be 80%, but we are still less than that. That is really mostly because of the change of molds and the power tripping.
Thank you, sir. And just wanted to, one final question, yes. Because you mentioned about, I mean, since past couple of days, we're hearing that, even though you're correct due to climate conditions, China may have reduced the steel production, but over the past couple of days, we're hearing that they are, again, because there are a lot of recyclable steel. So the recycle plants are, which are electric furnace based, they are all coming back and steel prices are like declining in China. But do you see this as a,
no.
My question is not on that, but my question is broader, is if the risk is that the steel prices shift back and do in the next quarter or two or later start shifting downward, do you see impact on any of your LPG cylinders or, composite cylinder business?
No, Mahendra ji, that is not quite possible. Once a company has switched over from metal to composite cylinder, it is very, very difficult for them to go back because of the customer's preference. Okay, number one. Number two, ask a general question about the prices of steel and how do we look at it in future. You see, the problem of China closing down their plant is energy. 70% of their energy they make out of coal. All their coal mines are flooded and they have a difficult relationship with Australia. So the coal prices have from $110 a metric ton have gone up to $210, $220. And I don't see the coal prices coming down. That is the largest, besides the iron ore, that is the largest cost constituent for them. If the pollution norms are going to remain the same, I would like to think that the steel prices will be up because it is one of the large energy guzzlers. But you will also see simultaneously countries going for nuclear power and alternate power. But that is not something which comes from one day to another. So if you ask me for next 3 to 5 years, I don't expect a steep decline in the price of steel, unless of course right now what you are seeing in China, their automobile production has come down dramatically. So even if they are producing less steel, they still have surplus capacity because they do not have chips for electrical vehicles, the vehicles. Right? So they have a long waiting for the vehicles and therefore the steel is not being used there. So with the truncated production, they still find that they have a steel to export and the prices have come down a little bit. But I would like to think it is temporary. But again, talking about the impact on our business, no, I don't see that happening anytime.
Thank you, sir. That's for me. Thank you.
Thank you, man.
The next question is from the line of Nilesh.
Yeah.
From Arrow Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Anil, just one more small thing. Can you give us any forward-looking guidance for the rest of the year, for the next 6 months? Will we meet our pre-COVID levels of turnover and EPS?
Yes, I think Bharat, for his notes from the last conference, has said it will be at pre-COVID level, and I confirm that that is the direction in which we are moving.
All right, so we are looking at a profitability of around 180 to 190 crores for the year.
I cannot comment the Manavai exact amount, but you are right. I think it will be around that. I know, Nilayji, that overall pre-COVID level, we know the business was around 3,600 crore. So I think you are right. But let's we'll come to know the good time in the period ahead.
Right.
We will try our best to get that one.
No, thank you, sir, and I'm sure we will achieve it. So
Nilayji, thank you very much. Okay, I think we have finished the questions. The moderator may take one or two questions if they come in. Otherwise, we can close the call.
So this was the last question.
Okay, great.
Can you go ahead with your closing remarks?
Okay, I know everybody is gone, but I thank all the investors who took the trouble of coming on to the call and asking questions. We are grateful to them for their support and for their understanding of our business. We are trying very hard to bring that company out of the COVID situation and reach its pre-COVID levels. We can't thank them enough for their confidence in the management of the company. Thank you so very much.
Thank you very much. On behalf of PhillipCapital India Private Limited, we conclude today's conference. Thank you for joining. You may now disconnect your lines.